This podcast is sponsored by MSI, the award-winning laptop company that has all your work-from-home productivity needs covered. MSI has just launched a new lineup of laptops for a variety of user needs. To learn more, visit us.msi.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, January 12th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. We've been talking about how social media and other tech companies are responding in the aftermath of last week's riot at the U.S. Capitol. They've taken unprecedented steps to crack down on President Trump and Parler, an alternative platform favored by some of his supporters. These actions come as tech companies are already facing increased scrutiny from lawmakers and regulators. On today's show, our tech policy reporter Ryan Tracy will join us to explain how the latest actions could play in. That's after these headlines. The world's largest tech show, CES, kicked off yesterday. The event is normally a place for innovators, investors, and businesses to meet in person to exchange ideas and show off all their brand new technology. But this year, the show is virtual.
And as you can see, CES looks a little different this year, but like many of the tech featured in the expo gallery, that's because it's brand spanking new.
We'll be following along this week, telling you about all the big ideas you should be keeping tabs on. In the meantime, we talked about the impact of an all-virtual CES on yesterday's show, in case you'd like to cue that episode up next. The fintech company Stripe handles payments for millions of online businesses and e-commerce platforms, but President Trump's campaign website is no longer one of them. People familiar with the matter say Stripe is cutting off the president's campaign account for violating its policies against encouraging violence. Spokespeople for the Trump campaign didn't immediately respond to requests for comment. In taking this action, Stripe joins a growing list of big tech companies that are taking steps against President Trump. After the break, we'll talk about how lawmakers and regulators could respond. That's next.
This podcast is sponsored by MSI, the award-winning laptop company that has all your work-from-home productivity needs covered. MSI has just launched a fresh new line of laptops for a variety of user needs with its Summit, Prestige, and Modern series. A CES 2021 Innovation Award honoree, the Summit is specially designed with today's business leaders in mind, offering the trifecta of security, stability, and performance. To learn more, visit us.msi.com.
Tech fallout from the riots in the Capitol has continued. As we reported, Twitter has instituted a permanent ban of the president's account. Facebook indefinitely suspended President Trump from its platform. The company also said yesterday that it would remove all content mentioning "Stop the Steal," a phrase popular among supporters of President Trump's claims about the election. Apple and Google suspended the social media site Parler from their app stores, and Amazon said it would no longer provide cloud computing services for the network. We've talked about Parler before. Some have turned to the platform as a less moderated alternative to more mainstream social media companies. And some Parler users had been using the platform to organize before, during, and after the riots. The company said Parler wasn't doing enough to police content that incites violence. And through their combined action, they've made it impossible to download Parler's app through Apple and Google's app stores or log in via the internet. Here's our tech editor, Bodhi Atwaye, with more on how they made that decision.
Within the last week, companies basically sent notices to say, hey, is there a way, you know, we think that you guys need to clean up your act. Google and Apple specifically, and even Amazon to an extent, said, you know, we don't think your content moderation rules are sufficient that we can host you on our platforms. We have rules that, you know, if you have user-generated content, you have to do some level of moderation to make sure there isn't a ton of bad stuff on there. Parler replied to the companies and say, hey, you know, we actually do have content moderation rules, and we've actually been trying to do more moderation of late. But, you know, in essence, the companies proceeded with their decisions by saying, you know, hey, this, we hear you, but without saying specifically what steps to take, they said, you know, the plan that you guys have isn't enough, and we just can't have you on our platform anymore.
Now, Parler is suing Amazon, saying their actions are politically motivated. They said Amazon applied a double standard to Parler compared with other platforms, and they accused Amazon of trying to reduce competition in the microblogging market to benefit Twitter, with which Amazon recently signed a multi-year web hosting deal. For their part, a spokesman for Amazon Web Services said the claims had no merit and that it respected Parler's right to determine what content it allows. But he said Parler had shown that it was unable or unwilling to take down violent content, which is a violation of Amazon's terms of service. Needless to say, there are a lot of questions about how all this will play out, particularly as lawmakers have already been looking at social media companies' roles in the online marketplace. So here to talk more about this is our tech policy reporter, Ryan Tracy. Hi, Ryan. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So one of the things that Parler has said here is that these actions are politically motivated. And conservatives have long been accusing social media companies of trying to rein in free speech and more strictly moderating them than more liberal groups. Do these latest actions add fuel to that fire?
Yeah, I mean, this was something that was already about to boil over. I mean, if you think about the lead up to the election, the incredible backlash that Twitter and Facebook got for how they handled the New York Post story about Hunter Biden in the weeks before the election really angered a lot of people on the right. And this is just feeding that narrative even more. You know, blocking Trump was sort of the ultimate weapon that Twitter had, and they've now done that. And, you know, it's really unclear where we go from here, but there's a lot of anger, certainly, and feeling that Twitter did this for reasons of political bias. And, you know, Twitter obviously strongly pushes back on that and says we treat everyone the same. And what we see, is incitement of violence. And that's why we're acting.
And I want to talk more about how this fits into questions that lawmakers are already asking about these tech companies. Some lawmakers are in the process of reviewing Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, which gives these platforms a liability shield for how they moderate content. How could these latest actions impact that process?
Well, big tech was already going to be under scrutiny in this Congress, and this just makes that, you know, all the more certain. And really, I think is going to motivate Republicans to look at this and potentially, you know, we'll have to see, but potentially join with Democrats to adopt some legislation targeting big tech. You know, for example, we saw on Friday, after Twitter's action against President Trump, Senator Lindsey Graham, who's, the top Republican on the Senate Judiciary Committee, kind of moved beyond a position that he had taken before. He had talked about we should change Section 230. Now he's with Trump and saying get rid of it. So, you know, that's a small thing, but it just shows that the events of the last week really have kind of paved the way potentially for legislation on this. And, you know, passing legislation is always really hard, and Congress is going to have a lot to do. And that doesn't mean that something's definitely going to happen, but it does make it more likely.
So Parler also is accusing these companies of coordinating to squelch a competitor. And that's something that both Democrats and Republicans have been looking into. They've both had concerns about big tech's market power. Google and Facebook are being sued on antitrust grounds, and other companies are being investigated as well. Part of the charges in some of the antitrust suits include concerns that some of these companies may have collaborated in order to maintain their position in the market. How do you think these latest events will play into ongoing and future antitrust investigations?
Well, it's not clear yet whether there will be an antitrust investigation of what the companies did to Parler. Parler has filed its suit, and so it will be able to pursue those claims on its own, even if the federal government doesn't get involved. But I think you do have to, I mean, even if you're not a government official, you sort of take a step back and look at this and think, wow, you know, here was a company going along, actually getting a lot of downloads, and in a matter of a few days has basically been totally shut down. That is a lot of power that's held by a few companies, you know? And so I think lawmakers are having that reaction too. And whether that shakes out into specific legislation isn't clear yet. I talked over the weekend with one Republican congressman, Ken Buck from Colorado. He said he thinks Republicans really need to start being more open to the idea that there ought to be more antitrust enforcement against big tech companies, because in his view, if you're a conservative and you're concerned about censorship or free speech, what you need to do is look at the market power that these companies have. Now, there are lots of Republicans that may be skeptical of that because traditionally they've not wanted the government to get involved in the marketplace as much as Democrats have. But, you know, maybe there's some more room for compromise there. Maybe this whole situation motivates members of Congress to legislate more on antitrust. And there are going to be those efforts, and they have even more momentum now. And one other thing we should note, by the way, is Democrats are now in control of the Senate. And so that just makes it easier to pass legislation when you have one party in control of both the House and the Senate.
And of course, we should say here that the companies have denied those allegations of anti-competitive behavior, and they say they operate in very competitive marketplaces. You know, Ryan, we've talked a lot about how Republicans are responding. What do Democrats say to all this?
Well, on the one hand, Democrats are very pleased that the social media companies have become more aggressive. You know, there were a lot of them that wanted Twitter to permanently ban President Trump many, many months, even years ago. And so they're happy about that. On the other hand, they're also saying, why did this take so long? Why did it have to get to the point where there was a riot at the Capitol for you to take this step? And that means that Democrats are still wondering, still actively working on the idea that there ought to be more regulation of these companies. You know, if anything, it has reinforced that notion for a lot of them because they think this got way too far and the government should have been more proactive.
And it seems like this moment has brought these two previously disparate complaints against big tech a bit closer together. That's the Section 230 complaints and the antitrust concerns. Could that complicate the path forward for these companies?
Well, it complicates it in the sense that, you know, it's harder to fight all these different battles at once. But on the other hand, you know, it could cut the other way, right? If Congress isn't particularly focused on one issue or the other, and they're kind of all over the place, maybe that makes it less likely that anything gets done at all. So we'll have to see whether these efforts actually get momentum. And one of the points that we make in a story that we published earlier this week is that some debates about tech regulation are more advanced than others. So in the case of privacy, for example, lawmakers have coalesced around a couple of bills that would put consumer data privacy protections in place and would affect the companies. That legislation looks more ready to move than, say, Section 230, where lawmakers are actually kind of all over the place. There are a lot of different proposals out there. Joe Biden has said that he wants to revoke the law, but he hasn't really said what he would replace it with and what exactly that would look like. And so there's kind of the process with Section 230 is not as advanced. And so, you know, that would lead one to believe, well, maybe privacy legislation or even antitrust legislation will move more quickly than Section 230. You know, but that could be wrong. We'll have to see what happens once the Congress gets rolling. And frankly, once it deals with all these other things it has to deal with, like impeachment and COVID and all these other issues that are going to be way ahead of tech regulation in terms of, you know, priority.
Yeah, they've got a lot on their plate right from the start there. So taking a step back here, all of these companies are arguing that they had to take the measures that they did because people are using their platforms to incite violence. And this feels like a moment in which we might get some answers about whose responsibility it actually is to address that, the tech companies or the regulators.
Yeah, you know, I think what this really brings up is we still haven't as a country really figured out what the rules of the road are for the internet, right? You know, what is the standard by which someone can be blocked on a social media site? Well, there are lots of different answers to that. Twitter has one answer. Facebook has another answer. YouTube has another answer. There are no standards about this. We're kind of making it up as we go along in a sense. And the government, you know, certainly has a role, and we've seen tech executives sometimes ask the government, please help us with this. Tell us what to do. Give us some North Star. And Congress really hasn't done that. And so you're seeing the companies have to make these decisions on their own. And, you know, I think with the events of the past week where, in the view of the companies and many others, democracy was really at stake, that kind of changed the game and made them go to a place they had never gone before. You know, so now we're in this new world where the sitting president of the United States has been blocked. You know, it's never been clear that we need some standards. We need to know, like, when that should happen, when it's okay for that to happen and when it isn't. You know, so that's the kind of issues that Congress is going to be grappling with. And, you know, absent Congress doing anything, it effectively continues to be the company's decision.
All right. That's our reporter, Ryan Tracy. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you. Take care.
You too. And finally, in addition to these actions from the tech companies to more aggressively moderate content, we've also seen them mount a financial response. Last night, a spokeswoman for Amazon said it was suspending contributions from its political action committee to members of Congress who voted to override the results of the presidential election. That follows a number of other companies and big banks that are withholding funding from political figures in the wake of the riot. We did a deeper dive of this trend on last night's episode of our sister podcast, What's News. You can check it out wherever you get your podcasts. All right, that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.